Hello, friends, and welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast, where we focus on optimizing the well-being and best practices of insurance and financial professionals today. On this show, our objective is to help you optimize your life, optimize your profession, and learn from other optimized advisors. I'm your host, Scott Heinola. We hope you enjoy the show. Yep. All right. Here, real quick. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for coming in.
Hello, hello.
And who are the gentlemen? First, but not least.
Nick Bernadowitz.
That's right.
Producer's Choice Network.
And what makes you, Kate, qualified for being here today based on today's topic?
In my previous life, I did have a degree in exercise science and kinesiology with a minor in coaching and athletic administration.
How many CrossFit certifications do you possess, sir?
So level two CrossFit instructor, NASM certified, and eight subject matter experts, SMEs, okay, they call them.
That's something more than I have. Last but certainly also not least, Ryan Dietrich, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me today. This is pretty awesome.
It's good having you.
Not going to lie.
We're going to have a conversation. Get a little closer to the mic so the audience can hear you. Don't be bashful.
There we go.
Just don't salivate all over the microphone, but you can certainly get as close and intimate to it beyond that.
Depends on what we're talking about. So.
There you go. Okay, and what are we talking about today? This today is about health and wellness, but in a particular category of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but biohacking? Is that what we're talking about today?
It's the buzzword.
Yes, sir.
It is the buzzword. Gosh, dang.
Everywhere. Everybody's talking about biohacking and the different types and the various ways to do this. Is it good? Is it bad? What are the benefits of each?
Okay, while we're talking about this, Danielle, bring up the term biohack, and then after they describe to us, our experts today, what biohacking is, you can read the literal definition. Okay, what is biohacking?
You want to start with it, Ryan?
It's basically been around for a long time. It's like you said, it's one of those buzzwords where they're now saying that it's biohacking, but the traditions of going in and changing your body on a cellular level through, I guess, unconventional ways, I would call it. One being cold water submersion, fasting. There's different aspects of it. If you're looking at like cellular biohacking, biohacking the brain, there's a couple different aspects when you go into it. But it's funny that it's been around, and it's recently with, I think, celebrities have been coming out and doing cold plunges and talking about their fasting, and it's caught up, and it's really catching fires.
And those are just a couple examples of many things that you can do to quote-unquote biohack, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's not that dissimilar to the fact that, I mean, at the end of the day, what is healthy eating? Well, you being Nick would describe healthy eating as, don't give the label term, describe it in terms of what the nutritional protocol would be.
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to go back to the biohacking. It's simply altering your body's genes on a cellular level using various natural methods. As simple as that. That's the simple term, right? And so you're trying to optimize your gene health, your cellular health.
Great choice of words,
yep,
by the way.
Through nutrition as being one. So to answer your question, eat meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch. And pretty much.
Which has been around for how long?
Forever.
Right.
Forever,
since,
really.
Since humans have been consuming.
Correct.
Which is forever. And it became, you know, labeled as.
The paleo diet.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's stigma around it. Are you for it? Or are you against it? At the end of the day, you would define it as a well-balanced, truly nutritional protocol.
Yeah, you're cutting out refined foods.
It's not a diet.
It is cutting out refined foods, sugars, processed foods, and sticking to natural sources of meat, vegetables, and fruit.
Okay. We also want to talk about fasting, by the way.
I think you hit it right on the head when you said natural. I mean, I think we get away from that nowadays when people are eating foods, or they're going and they're trying to get food, and it's just not natural. And I think by that being said, we'll get into that when we get into the fasting aspect of it with biohacking. But people are not eating actual food items. It's not real food.
Right.
So Scott, biohacking, they got a nail on the head. Using like small improvements for your mental health, well-being that over time improve your genetics.
Boom.
It's called do-it-yourself.
I hit it. Hit it on the head. We did it.
First question would be, can this be, combined with nutrition, can this be my only health protocol? I mean, is this enough? Is doing a few of these biohacking remedies or approaches, is that the extent of my fitness and nutritional protocol?
I think,
is that all?
You still will have to have some physical activity in there. I think we live as humans now, we live at sedentary lifestyles where we're seated a lot and we're not actually moving about, where back, you know, hundreds of years ago, we were out gathering, not hundreds of years, thousands of years, whatever it was,
yeah.
But we were out moving around.
Right.
We did things. If you wanted to get something done, you didn't ride your e-bike to go do it. You had to ride a regular bike, which burned calories.
Right.
So when we
are primal, right? I mean, we come from primates. That's the argument of way back when, however long ago it was, we were hanging from trees and crawling on the ground, but we were constantly mobile.
So to answer your question, no, there has to be a physical fitness aspect to that. And it doesn't, I found out through what I've gone through, is it doesn't have to be as serious as CrossFit, not to go against CrossFit or anything like that. I love it.
No, not at all.
But it doesn't have to be that hardcore. It just can be very simple as muscle activation exercises put in with the biohacks that will change your life.
Yeah, biohacking simply is an additional way on top of what you're already doing to optimize what you're doing. The core basis of general health, as we've talked about on this podcast before, is activity, right? Lifestyle choices and some nutritional, call it a diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw biohacking on there, you're just optimizing all of those things.
Right.
It's not the end all be all. All of the things aren't going to help with any of the other. It's all in part. It's all tools in the tool belt.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of our biohacking strategies. Start with one.
The first one that I experienced personally was cold water submersion.
Okay.
Stumbled across it, looking at ways to lose excess fat, sick of doing cardiovascular activity and grinding away on the Peloton, which I love, but I don't want to be on there every day for an hour. And I'm like, well, how can I maximize or optimize in this case my fat loss without having to go into eating just plain chicken and vegetables and then getting on there and being in a caloric deficit? In the cold water submersion, when I first did it, it was absolutely horrible. It took me about 7 to 10 minutes to actually get into the cold water. But when I went in before I did it, I actually looked at the benefits from it, and it's got for fat loss, it is one of the best biohacks, as well as increased cardiovascular. So if you're increasing your cardiovascular activity and healthy heart, it's another way to optimize that as well. Have you ever done cold water submersion, Nick?
I haven't, and I'm a little bit on the opposite end of the spectrum of believing in it. Through a lot of my studies, through a lot of the peer-reviewed studies that are out there, it has nominal effects, but like in terms of general physiology effects, it's nominal. In terms of mental, it is vast in what it does. Because really at its core, what does a cold plunge do? If you're gonna take it to, you know, the anatomy of the body and the physiology of the body, what does it actually do? It restricts blood flow, right? Closes down blood vessels to restrict blood flow, brings it into the internal organs away from extremities, right? That's at its core what it does. So what does that help? It then helps with those muscles, right? Not getting the DOM set in where blood flow is going in to repair the muscles. So it's helping with the recovery aspect. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
I think that is what it 100% does and does effectively, is that.
Well, so let's talk through this a little bit. This article here provides three main benefits of cold water immersion. First one is weight loss. And it says here that essentially it can increase the metabolic rate by as much as 16%. Well, by increasing your metabolic rate, I would then argue that that does burn calories, and calories then does burn essentially body fat. And the reason why it burns, it increases your metabolic rate, would be to me, it accelerates your breathing. It forces your body to work harder. And so then the byproduct of that is my heart rate increases or my heart rate decreases when I'm in
cold. Actually, when you go into the cold, your heart rate, you want it to decrease. So you steady your breath so you're not in that shivering. Because when you shiver, you only burn
But you're breathing to warm your core.
You're breathing. So the deeper the breaths, the better, because you're getting more oxygen into the bloodstream, right? And it's getting into the capillaries, so it's warming your extremities. So when you do get in there, a lot of people say when they get in the cold water, it's great for anti-inflammatory, which is awesome. It does pull the blood back into the center of the body, but what we're trying to do is force the blood back out of the center of the body to the extremities to warm them back up. The second thing that it would do was it goes into the brown fat, which is in your neck, right? So we have brown fat, and then we have our stubborn, you know, beer belly fat that we have down there. When we actually stimulate the brown fat, it helps with the burning of the unwanted fat. And I don't know, Nick, have you heard about that before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, there's the data from peer-reviewed journals is inconclusive on the benefits other than recovery.
So reduction of inflammation.
Correct.
Which is obvious, very clear, consistent, proven.
Yeah,
but cold immersion from an anti-inflammation strategy would have much greater benefits than just icing stated
100%.
Area.
And there's no secret that ice should be used for recovery, right? That is the number one way we recover. And it helps in so many ways. I need to see more big
to see other
analysis benefits. To see other benefits other than that.
Well, I would also argue this third benefit, right? Enhanced circulation of blood.
Well, it's no, I wouldn't. I would take
interesting.
I would take the other biohack, sauna, heat as that.
But there's the whole conversation. The optimal way to do this is cold immersion, immediately followed by hot sauna, immediately followed by, you know, you're doing this back and forth to increase blood flow, create heat, and then immediately do the exact opposite.
Yeah, and Nick, have you heard about cold shock proteins?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, they're also talking about the...
What is this?
So cool. So you have... three different types of proteins. They just recently said there was a breath shock protein, or that you get actual protein from elevated breathing, which is like hyperventilating, or the Wim Hof method, they call it, which is breath work, mm-hmm. cold water submersion, and then your meditation or your mindset. But supposedly you can actually increase proteins in your body by being in the cold.
Yeah. And these are all things I also have heard, and I am also very interested in finding out way more. But it for me, it's just
when Tony Robbins swears by it, so
because like
must be
right
true.
There's 12, and I brought in to the studio like a paper that debunks it, basically saying it's not fully yet known in science,
all of
it's
the
proven. And there's multiple. So like you're looking at...
What year was your paper written?
Well, all these are meta-analysis. So they're all very big, big, like Journal of Science Medicine, European Journal of Applied Physiology. So you're talking big, big organizations that have done big, big studies on it. And what they're finding is it just is still unknown on the additional effects other than...
The extent of the benefits.
Correct.
Yeah. Because you could say that, you know, as an example, you, Ryan, have made a lot of stride in shifting the way you've approached your overall health and wellness protocol. And ice bathing, for you know, using that as the layman term, cold water immersion,
yeah,
has been one of the components and I would argue a spoke of many things that you've done.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch in there, and I think it, not even just being submerged in a cold tank, but also just like a quick 2 to 3 minute cold shower in the morning. I've been to a couple of Wim Hof seminars, a couple in Long Beach and San Diego.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So a Wim Hof seminar is mind blowing. First, when you go in there, because you really have to be comfortable with yourself. Because you're doing things out of the norm. So you're trying to optimize yourself by going in this situation. What I can say from it is they talk about the benefits of it, and they'll go in and say that a lot of the papers, or they call it the white papers,
right?
A lot of it has changed in the last year and a half, is so what they say, Nick. Mm-hmm. But you know, going in and doing research or looking at it online, it's a vast pool of knowledge there that, you know, the egg is bad for you, eat the yolk, don't eat the yolk, like, you know, we have this controversy throughout every single thing in life, which is crazy. But when you go into this Wim Hof event, they swear that when these scientists did these studies on Wim Hof, that he had these abilities to like heat up his hand just through his thought process, which then we get into the meditation biohack. But I found that going into a lot of the water things that they talked about, and the parasympathetic nervous system aspect of that really has helped me, but it has to be combined in a different setting. It just can't be by itself. It has to be paired with meditation, with your intermittent fasting, with all these things we're going to talk about. It's part of a bigger wheel, right? It's kind of like saying like, oh, I have one tire for my car, I'm going to go out for a ride. It's like, no, it's not going to work.
100%.
Yeah.
So everybody who's saying, well, I just do cold water and I'm not losing weight, I don't know what's wrong, it's like, no, you're missing the bigger picture right now. You're just holding on to one stick instead of looking at the tree.
So. Yeah. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's a whole shift of multiple things that you should be doing in your life. The reason I asked the question originally is like, I don't want people thinking who are listening to this, oh, all I need to do is maybe eat a little more healthy and start cold water immersion and there I'm optimal health. No, that's not the answer. Are there benefits to it? 100% there are benefits to it. To the extent of which the benefits are valid, I think that's a little bit up to interpretation, and it probably varies by people. This is the other element to it. The mind is a very powerful thing. So a perfect example would be if somebody who's doing cold water immersion and really not necessarily believing or buying into it and not doing meditation, doing some of these other ancillary things that kind of coincide with that, they'll have a dramatically different result in their life and their overall health and wellness than someone like who is a buyer, not to use the term buy-in, but who wholeheartedly believes in it, integrates it on a regular and consistent basis, really pushing the envelope. Because let's face it too, define cold water immersion temperature-wise.
Sports science says anywhere between 50 to 60 degrees, right, Nick?
Yeah, and people are pushing it way lower than that.
So to that point, there is a dramatic difference between a person like a person who can handle 34, 40 degrees for 5 minutes or longer at a time than the person who's doing 90 seconds at 50.
I think that's the thing.
The results are dramatically different.
But I think that's the misconception is a lot of people look at these, you know, they look at Wim Hof, they look at some of these celebrities now getting in, you know, I do an ice plunge and it's, or a cold bath, I should call it, or I take a cold shower. I don't know, my cold showers in California in the summer, it's probably 85, which I can't do it. But in the winter, you know, I have my temperature gauge in there and it'll get to about 53 degrees, which is perfect. I don't need anything more than that. I have been in a freezer that was converted into a cold water submersion tank, and it was at 33 degrees. And I did it for 10 minutes because my mindset was I want to see how long I could do it. Now, do I think I got more benefits from freezing in 32 than I did at 55? No, absolutely not, because I still had to focus on my breath work. I don't think the colder it is for the longer you're in there has too much more benefits.
Really?
Would you say that?
No, it actually has reverse.
It does.
Once you get beyond 10, 15 minutes, you are reversing
damaging
effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like
cell, probably on a cellular level.
Yeah, because you start going into damage mode where your body is
truly
survival mode. I am going to lose my limbs if I don't. So hands on deck, start surviving.
Right.
Right. But, you know, I think why, and you know, I'm not taking the approach that it's not good to do. I really do think it's part of the entire process, especially if you're doing high intense exercise, long duration exercise, all of those things. I think it's critical, and especially take professional golfers, any professional athlete, after any event, they should be doing cold plunge. 100% they should be doing that.
Hardcore city slicker, CrossFitter, F45 guy.
Doing it.
Like
doing
massive it. Soreness.
Yeah. Lots of bicep curls.
Hey, okay. What else? What's the next thing? Fast. So, let's talk about fat.
Yeah. So I was just going to close
on that.
Why I think that is probably the number one taking off. One, a lot of celebrity exposure for sure to it. Two, accessibility. It's a lot easier to have a bathtub and pour some water in it with some ice. Mm-hmm. Let's talk sauna. Very difficult to get to unless you're in a gym. You have a gym membership or you purchase one in your house. In it, talking in the States specifically, because Europe, Sweden, they're all a lot different. But like a sauna should, I think, be just as important, if not more important, because the studies have been there. It has been proven to be effective as part of a regimen.
And there's also heat shock proteins from that as well. So, I mean, you got to...
Sorry. Just a quick thought. So isn't the whole point of doing sauna, cold plunge, and you go back and forth, that you like are spiking your cortisol so then you in turn can handle like more stressful situations, like your body just becomes more fit to handle stress?
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they're saying with the ice bath too. When you go into it, is that you're in a stressful situation.
You're like, go to fight or flight.
Yeah, it's your parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system where it's like, hey, like I want to get out. Like people get in, and I've witnessed it. I've had over probably like 50, 60 people go into my cold plunge at my house at a good, you know, good temperature. And half of them don't even, they put one foot in, they freak out and they get out. Like they're going to get, like they're getting chased by somebody who's going to kill them. And I'm like, it's, you're set yourself into this like freak out mode, which we're always in throughout like the process of the day. You know, when we wake up to go to bed, we're in traffic on the 405, the 5, I don't know how Texas traffic is, but it doesn't seem bad. But everybody's in this type of this mindset where they're stuck in this, you know, like either fight or flight.
Right.
And all day long, their stress levels are up. They're holding on to more fat. Cortisol levels are higher. Nick will agree on that, that the more stressed out a client is or stressed out a person is, the more likely they're going to have extra adipose tissue or body fat on their body.
Right.
So I think that to close out what Nick was saying too as well is that if you're doing something as like hot, cold therapy where you're doing heat proteins – and cold proteins, you're going cycling back and forth. I think that's the best way to go about that.
Right.
To kind of also reset your body to not always be stuck in this fight or flight mode. So that when you get into a situation, that's where we get into the next biohack is going to be mindset with meditation. But you're not in that fight or flight mode. You're not freaking out. Like say somebody, you know, cuts you off and gives you the finger. You're not going to lose it and go after them. You're going to take a deep breath. Or your deep breaths that you take, and you're just gonna be like, okay, it's I don't need to kick on that kill mode and go after them.
Right.
I'm just gonna relax through it. And then you bring down your cortisol levels and you're feeling a lot healthier and better.
Right. But that's an element of why I choose to work out the way that I do, is because in that moment, if I'm doing not the right workout, but the workout and a lot of it's based on feel, right? But there are times where I need a workout so physically hard that it's the only thing that I can think about at that moment in time. And everything else in my world that's going on around me is completely vanished for at least that window of time. And that's a way that I manage and deal with stress. It also is another element of like, you know what? If I could finish that, then I can take the rest of the day in stride.
And that
it's a coping mechanism, if you will, for me.
Yeah, and you know,
from a mental aspect,
it
might not be the right. It works for me. It works for a lot of people. The point too is like applying stress to your body in other ways does help your physiological response to dealing with other levels of stress. Right.
Very few people on a day-to-day basis have to go through something as hard as sitting in a cold plunge.
Right.
Or sitting in a sauna at whatever, 150 degrees.
For 30 minutes.
And or going through a highly aerobic or anaerobic exercise. Your heart rate pinning at 180, right? Very few people put themselves through that on a day-to-day basis. So when you're putting that into your regimen, like you're saying, okay, if I can handle this, all the other things feel a lot less. Because as Danielle was saying, fight or flight kicks in those moments. There's many a times I've been in a workout where I'm like, I just
can't do this.
I cannot do one more rep or I will die.
But you kept going.
But I kept going. But that's how you feel in that moment. And then when you're done, you feel amazing, right? All the hormones, everything's
on high. You know, the sauna is an interesting one. So like, Danielle, the first time you did sauna with yours, and not all of us are fortunate to have a sauna in our house, Danielle is. The first time you did sauna, how many minutes did you go before your mind was telling you, this is really hot? Like, I don't know how many much longer I can go.
Probably like 5 minutes. So now...
You're only 5 minutes in.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. I was uncomfortable hot.
Right.
I don't remember how hot we started at.
You don't like being uncomfortable, though.
No.
No.
So this is good to push me out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
Now we do like 200 degrees for like 10, 15 minutes.
200?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's extreme. Because at our studio, it's like 125 to 130.
Yeah.
And it's 20 or 25 minutes. But at 18 is where you start feeling. Conversely, in an ice bath, within 30 seconds at most, your body is now under extreme stress.
Oh, yeah. For the moment, even before you get in, I've had some of my athletes stand outside the ice bath for 25 minutes, having a conversation with themselves out
before
loud,
they got in.
And some didn't even get in.
Wow.
They just walked away. And I'm sitting there baffled. Like, I just did it in front. I did it. You didn't die. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But in their head, they set up this. They're in their fight or flight, and they're trying to convince themselves, you know, maybe they can go in 5 minutes. Maybe they can go in 10 minutes. Maybe if they put their foot in. And they're having this realization of like, wow, I'm really just having this conversation back and forth with myself on why I can't do it. And it's pretty crazy to actually think about.
You can do hard things. Get in, and as Anthony Kiedis would say, stop being a, stop being a.
Can't say it. This is a kid show.
He says, stop being a bitch. That's his new mantra.
But I do feel, Scott, I'm going to finish the cold plunge with this, or the cold water submersion, is that I found that my youth athletes, the kids I work with who are in 7th and 8th grade, get in the cold plunge without even thinking about it.
Right.
And also, I've had my son go in there, who is, he just turned 8. He did one at like 50 degrees for 5 minutes. I don't recommend that kids be in there that long and do it. He just wanted to be cool and like be like, just like dad. So he got in there and he's just like, oh, this is amazing. Like, what? I don't understand why everybody's freaking out. Like,
right.
It's kind of cold. But I found that as we get older, we have that conversation, Nick. I don't know if you agree with this. As we get older, we start telling ourselves and we start putting these limitations on what we can and can't
right.
do.
Absolutely. And see, that's a whole other element to it that's very real.
See it day in, day out. Back when I was coaching, day in, day out, people saying they can't do something. Just that doubt. And it's, once again, being tested. Our lives are pretty cush in America, although the media doesn't make it seem that way. But we're very rarely tested on endurance, on
in a physical struggles, or mental
in
state.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so when you can do that in various ways, it's only going to benefit you.
Right.
Through exercise, through these things we're saying, heat, cold. And then the last one that you were bringing up, maybe not even the last one, we have meditation. We have a lot, but the fasting,
the next one, the
fasting.
Yeah. Let's talk about this.
The fasting aspect is very similar in terms of mental, right? Where most Americans are thinking of their next meal after 1 hour of having their meal. So their entire being is about thinking of food.
Do you think that's the case?
That's
for
why
me?
I'm looking right at you. I'm looking right into your eyes as I say that.
I'm already planning my next meal.
Exactly.
While finishing the current meal.
Correct.
I'm not advising or advocating for that.
Now, the health benefits of fasting, there's a million, and there's a lot of good things. But just taking the mental aspect of not having a meal for a set period of time, and I'm not of the mindset or belief that you need to be fasting for multiple days. I'm an intermittent fasting. I believe in that. I think doing that once or twice a week for a 16 to 18 hour period is very, very beneficial to add to your normal nutrition and exercise guidelines.
What about more days?
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
So on the I'm going to play devil's advocate on that. So when you get into Autosphy and all the cellular rejuvenation, so for Autosphy, it's basically like your cell eats itself. It's cannibalized itself. But what it does is the cell membrane goes in and it eats the bad parts of the cell that are damaged and gets rid of them. So it's called like almost cellular rejuvenation. And I, Nick, I don't know, you maybe can quote me on this, but they said it happens between the 18, it starts at 18? But it goes 48 hours is when it's at its 24 to 48 hours is when it's at its maximum efficiency. And to go into that, when you do that, it also repairs the liver cellular damage too. So you can be able to burn up to 330 times the percentage of fat you normally would be able to burn by getting into Autosphy with that intermittent fasting. So imagine being able to burn 330% more fat and being able to, when you eat your food, be able to digest it and get more nutrients from it just by having that 24 to 48 hour fast. I personally have clients who do 24 hour fast every week. They go from Sunday night to Monday night. They don't eat. They go from dinner to dinner. They can have water. I was trying to limit black coffee just because everyone talks about diuretic purposes of it. So I usually tell them just stick with the water. We were doing electrolyte packets from LMNT. So we have different things we can play with, but no calories, right? Zero mm-hmm. calories on that. And they were all seeing, you know, they felt better. They had more energy and it's hard. Don't get me wrong, to just have
for sure.
water for, you know, 2 days or a whole day. I've gone 72 hours on my longest fast. And I've actually felt, I did a workout at 48 hours. And the guy I was doing the workout with asked me what kind of drugs I was on because he was like, your energy is crazy. You're not breathing heavy. He's like, you're more focused. What is going on? And I'm like, well, it's the part of getting into that long-term fast where now I'm getting the blood rush back to my head and the insulin, right? So I'm getting all the focus. When we go back to you talk about ancestral, right, Scott, for optimization. So when they used to hunt, if there was no food for 24 to 48 hours, you obviously couldn't hunt groggy, right? So imagine being hungover and try to hunt an animal. It would never happen. You'd miss every time. So when you get into this 48-hour portion, you start getting the blood flow coming back up to the brain, and it heightens your senses. Mm. So now you're hypersensitive through your brain, so you're more focused. You're more task-orientated. Nick, can you concur on this, or am I off? Am I off a little
no.
bit?
No.
Well, I mean, you do think about, you know, prehistoric days, right? Food was not readily accessible. I would go many days probably without consuming any food. And the starving feeling was a very normal part of the human process. And so that, to me, that element of it makes a lot of sense and practicality. I mean, even in, let's just say, the 18th and 19th centuries, right? Like, people rationed their food, especially if I was not near a town or a city. And so the amount of consumption that I would have in a day or a week was very limited. And starving was very normal. It was part of your natural protocol. And now, to your point, food's everywhere. We're eating all the time. And that's not really good for you.
And
so once in a while, it does, I would argue, make sense to the fact that exposing your body to that stress and not having to constantly digest food is a good thing.
And
that all makes logical sense.
100%. Yeah. And most American diets too, yes, being abundant, but being abundant in what type of food? More often than not, it's a high carbohydrate diet.
Right.
And
well, and sodium or whatever else.
It's typically refined carbohydrates.
But that comes from the food pyramid that the government came out
correct.
With.
Correct.
So example of refined carbohydrates would be? Flour. I mean, not the obvious ones, but
bread.
Food. Yeah, bread.
Bread, any type. Potato chips.
Cereal.
Cereal. Oatmeal. Little different there, but right. Potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, not all oatmeal is created equal.
No.
Either. There are
no.
some. Very
we can go way. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
But there are also some genuinely very healthy.
So go to a grocery store, walk down the center aisles. All that.
Yeah. That's what you have always said.
I have always said. Stay on the exterior of the grocery store and you'll be all right.
Well, they also said if it lasts more than 7 days, it's not good for you.
Okay, so once a week, 24-hour would be a suggestion. How often would I do a 48-hour or 72-hour?
So the program that I run, it's called Healthy in 30. We start off the whole entire process with a 48-hour water-only fast. One, it gets you in the mental state that you can accomplish anything after that, because when you go through it, people have had headaches. You get it from obviously getting rid of the sugars that you're putting in your body, the carbohydrates,
the caffeine
from coffee or beverages. So your body is just shifting. It's helping with gut health. It's going through its cellular cycling. I think they also talked about stem cells as well, Nick. If you go into that 24 to 48 hour water only fast, you're looking at producing more stem cells in that process as well. So it's hard to do when you think about the mindset of it. You got ghrelin kicking around, you're getting hungry, and your body's telling you you're hungry, but you don't need the food because you have sugars already stored in your body that you're going to be utilizing for energy. Mm-hmm. And then once you run out of those stored sugars, correct me, Nick, then you start going in and utilizing the fat that is stored in your body.
Right.
And you start breaking that down for energy sources.
Right.
And that's where we go through this process.
And that happens at the 18 or the 24-hour mark?
It happens. Well, you got to look at ketosis, and Nick could talk a lot about
it. It depends how much excess carbohydrates and sugars you have.
Okay, so it's based on the specimen.
Correct. But it is universally known at 14 hours of a fast, usually, will go into some form of ketosis depending on the person.
Okay.
And then from there, it's
maintaining ketosis.
Maintaining ketosis. And that's where there.
So as long as I don't consume calories, I will remain in ketosis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you also have to be careful. And I think I don't really have done a 12 or 18. I usually go 24 or more. When I actually refeed, the refeeding process is super huge because your stomach has now shrunken down. You have new gut health, right? You have a new membrane in your digestive tract. Your body is clean. It's not used to the processed foods you were putting in it. So when you put food back in your body, that's huge. People have died by putting the wrong food back in their body.
After prolonged fast.
They literally have killed themselves because they went ahead and ate processed foods or really high sugary foods or high carbohydrate foods, and their body goes into this mode and it just shuts down.
Wow. We don't want that to happen.
No. So
that would be suboptimal.
But so you listen to all this, right? If we're talking to the general person that's going to be listening to this podcast, our advisors, the healthiest of the healthy, for sure, right? The general population is going to need, of all the biohacking, of all the things we're talking, it's clean up your diet, add a few of these biohacking things, right? Start with minimal fasting. And my fast is super easy. Eat dinner, right? On whatever night, eat dinner, 6 p.m. at night. Don't eat until lunch the next day.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And you're going to hit your 16 hours.
Yeah.
If you can push it to dinner, even better.
Right.
Right? And do that 2 to 3 times a week. That simple of, if we're talking basic biohacking, that's where you start. Start working out more with a blend that we've talked about on this podcast before of aerobic and anaerobic resistance exercise. Super important. Running is not the answer only. Mm-hmm. Peloton is not the only answer. Right, you have to add some resistance training into your life.
Right,
bands, dumbbells, whatever it might be.
Variety is the spice of life.
Oh, so important. Because then it gets boring.
Right.
Right. All of this, none of it's the end all be all.
Right.
All of it has to be done in a circular manner where they all go hand in hand.
Okay. So which that if person candidate can be disciplined to doing these kind of basic things, that is the goal to get to. And if you can slide into that and live that out, that's great. Some people do need that. And my wife is probably perfect example of, like, she needs a reason and, like, to shock the system and hit the one of our good advisors' wives is also the same.
Yep.
Just won't respond otherwise. So there's where your 30-day makes very good sense, right? It's like, we are going to hit you with this 48-hour fast to kick this thing off. And then what does the 28 days look like the following?
Then it gets pretty simple. So then we have our biohacking strategies. So I've been a fitness coach for 15 years, NASM certified, different NASM subcategories, as well as NIC ISSA certified. We can go through the list of them. Reiki energy healing certified. It gets pretty wild when you go down the list of it, but it's a daily basis routine, right? So you got to think about, like, how long does it take to create a routine?
30 days.
30 days, right? Some say 12, some say 21, make it a habit. I say 30, right? The longer, the better, if you can keep it up. So when you go through this, you're starting off with that 48-hour water-only fast. Mm-hmm. It's going to shock your mind. It's going to shock your body. You're going to lose, inflammation is going to drop instantly. You're going to see about 5 to 7 pounds come off in about 2 days. And now we want to keep it off, though, because we don't want to have this fad crash diet, right, where, oh, I lost 5 pounds, and now I'm going to go ahead and eat my In-N-Out cheeseburgers because I feel good because I lost weight. No, we want to keep it going. And now it comes in where Nick was talking about, where we're sticking with those natural foods.
Right.
We want vegetables. We want fruits. We want our meats. As far as grain goes, I don't know, like, some people limit their grain. Some people have a little bit in their diets. I just know for a fact that I always look at what our ancestors did, and I don't think that they had grain readily available. It's hard to say. I mean, they didn't have meat readily available. Vegetables and plants, I could see. They grow on trees. They come out of the ground.
Right.
So you got to take that in with a grain of salt, I say, and not go back into this carbohydrate consumption where you're just putting all of these grains and things into your body, because it's just going to jack you up even more.
Right.
So you have you come out of the 48-hour fast. You have your nutrition guidelines. So you're going to be eating healthy.
Okay.
When you break your fast, you're breaking your fast with a bone broth.
Okay.
We're going to go with the beef bone broth. Love it. It's my favorite thing to break a fast with. Once I'm done with that, 2 to 3 hours later, I'm putting in usually a good white meat, so like a chicken and some vegetables in there. And I'm not going with like super high fiber vegetables because my gut just got replenished and it's clean. And I don't want to put too much fiber in it because it's going to blow me out.
Or a big healthy salad with just, you know, oil and vinegar kind of a thing.
Yeah. So something.
Not a cream based.
No cream based. And that's the other thing is, I don't know about dairy, but it's a huge kick for me about dairy is because we're the only mammals who still drink dairy until we pretty much pass from this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And no other mammal does. And it's just, it gets me every time. I'm like, what are we doing? And we're not even drinking dairy from our own. This, I might go off tangent on this, but it's not even our own species. We're drinking milk from a different animal, which I don't think the cows go to a different animal and get their milk. So I'm a little confused on it. Mm-hmm. I try to stay away from dairy for gut health purposes. I know it gives a lot of my clients, they bloat, they get inflamed. Once they come off the dairy, it drops them 100%. Mm-hmm. So we'll limit dairy, we'll limit sugars, but natural sugars are okay. Fruit, things like that are going to be all right for you.
Right.
Then we go into our cold water submersion on a daily basis. So every day is 2 to 3 minutes, whether you get up first thing in the morning, we talk about shocking the system, you're getting in there, the cold water's running on you, you're freezing, you know, once you get out of there, you're warming back up. It's almost like an adrenaline spike, like a dopamine. It's sort of like that risk reward type symptom that goes into that. Then we have our breath work. And I love breath work is because we don't breathe properly as humans. And no one ever taught us how to breathe. And I think I said this to one of my coaches. I coach youth football, but I said, how come nobody ever taught me how to breathe properly when I was a little kid? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I breathe and I do it, you know, just my body does it naturally, but I don't actually pay attention to it sometimes. And sometimes I'm breathing really shallow and my heart's like pumping and I'm like, okay, cool. My heart rate's elevated. I'm breathing shallow. I'm trying to get more oxygen into my body. And now I found out that you should be taking anywhere between 8 to 10 breaths per minute.
Mm.
So if you actually sat here and we timed ourselves with our stopwatches and we took our just regular normal breaths that we were taking, we're just aware of it now, we should be anywhere between 8 to 10 breaths per minute.
Mm.
And most people are up in the 20s to 30s.
Hmm. Just very short and shallow.
Very
breath.
Short and shallow. They're not, no diaphragm breathing, right. So they're not getting the oxygen. And we don't breathe from our lungs, and Nick can talk about this. We actually breathe from our cells. Our cells are the ones that take the oxygen in and utilize it and produce life. Mm-hmm. Our lungs are just a transportation system for that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people.
True yoga is very, very intense with proper breathing and following that breathing protocol. It's a big part of true yoga, not, you know, city yoga.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a big difference.
Huge. Yeah. Huge. Is.
All right. So that's good. That's the 30-day.
And then the other one would be meditation. And a lot of people say that they can't meditate. They, you know, there's no, but we already talked about this. You're saying you can't do something before you even tried it.
Right.
I can't meditate. My brain brushes too much. I have the, so you're automatically putting yourself in a stressful, I say, hey, Scott, you know, I need you to do 15 minutes of meditation a day. And now you're freaking out. Now your cortisol levels are up. You're like, how, I can't meditate.
Right.
He wants me to do something. How am I supposed to still, you're having this conversation. We talked about the kid getting in the ice bath, right? And he's standing there talking to himself about how he's going to get in the next 30 minutes in a million different ways. And now he's freaking out and he's stressed out about it. So right. It went from a positive experience to like this whole negative experience for
right,
him.
Right.
But it's the same thing with meditation. You just have to say like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. I'll go and do my best that I can. But that's optimizing anything you do. You're not going to get something in your job on a daily basis and say, well, there's no way I can send that email.
Right.
Like you're going to do the best you can. You're going to push through it. And you're going to make some of those experiences the best experiences ever, even though they might not be the most enjoyable experiences.
Right. Yeah. That's well said.
Well said.
It is.
Yeah. His that 30-day is take everything we've talked about over the last 40 minutes, mm-hmm. and it all is encompassing in that, right?
How do people find this?
You can go to www.reachingdreamshealthandwellness.com. It's going to be on there. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as well.
And search a lot. Reaching Dreams?
Yeah, search Reaching okay. Dreams. I've actually gone through this program.
How do people email you directly?
www.reachingdreamsllc@gmail.com.
There you go. Okay.
Perfect.
Everybody, we don't need to talk about you, Nick.
We're good.
They'll find you.
They'll find me.
Yep.
They know my
Just
face.
Just come to the podcast channel. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
Perfect.
Can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Scott, I built this program by experience. I didn't just come up with this program because I'm in the fitness industry and have all these degrees and certifications. I actually went through this at a time in my life where I was stuck because, as you gentlemen sitting at this table, we've gone through fitness our entire lives, right? So if you took every single day we worked out and put it together, we're in the thousands, correct?
Yeah.
So to do this, I got to a point where I did MMA fighting and I played professional arena football. And I got to a point where I was working out and I wasn't seeing results. And I'm like, well, I don't want to work out as hard as I had to during those activities, right? Because there was 3-hour sessions. Like you said, it's super high intensity. It's really hard. You have to diet down. You have to cut calories. And I'm like, there has to be an easier way to do this. There has to be an easier way that we just don't know yet. So then I started looking into all this biohacking, and that's where it came from. I lost 20 pounds doing it.
Wow. So, congratulations. That's great, man. Hopefully it's working out for you.
It's going well.
Yeah, good.
It's going well.
Any parting words, Nick?
Start moving. Great. Start eating healthier.
You can do hard things.
You can do hard things. It'll make your life better.
And stop being a...
Kid show.
Yep.
Kid show.
Kid friendly.
They'll get the
Kid
point.
Kid friendly.
Thank you, gang.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Please subscribe, like, share, leave a comment, or review. Be sure to check us out on social media at Optimized Advisor Podcast. Till next time.